It's time for the Postal Podcast. Brought to you by 180 Degrees News. Good morning, podcast audience. Local 304, and as always, my branch, Columbus, Ohio. This is that guy, Branch President Kenny Hodge, with a Monday morning podcast for you. Hey, listen, this morning's podcast may go over 15 minutes. In fact, today's and tomorrow's is probably going to be 20 minutes. But while you're at work, yeah, put your headphones on and let me speak to you. This morning, I want to speak to you on an article out of the contract, Article 25, which deals with higher level assignments. Now, the reason we're talking about Article 25 this morning is because of those crazy group leader bids. I'm sorry. Because of those group leader bids that have just decided that a group leader will be in charge of a piece of mail handlerless equipment, we've got a situation in Columbus, Ohio. Number one, the bids were supposed to be effective Saturday, but my understanding is the AGVs have been delayed, so the personnel going to their bids are going to be delayed. Now, I could ask, are they getting higher level pay? Are they getting out of schedule premium? There's a lot of questions, but that's going to be a topic for another conversation, because I'm sure amongst all those questions, you're going to find out that your local president directed the Tour 2 Chiefs to it to cut a deal with management so that we're not going to make them pay for out-of-schedule premium for holding these folks out of their bids. But nonetheless, let's jump right into Article 25. Article 25, Section 1, Definition. Higher-level work is defined as an assignment to a ranked higher-level position, whether or not such position has been authorized at the installation. So, in other words, when it comes to mail handlers, the Postal Service can just create a higher level position and fill out a 1723 and put you in it, and voila, that is perfectly legitimate. So, right off the bat, you got to understand, there does not have to be a authorized higher level position in order for the Post Office to put a mail handler on a higher level position and pay them additional funds. Does that make sense? Section 25.2, higher level pay. An employee who is detailed to higher level work shall be paid at the higher level for the time actually spent on such jobs. An employee's higher level rate shall be determined as if promoted to the position. An employee's temporarily assigned or detailed to a lower level position shall be paid at the employee's own rate. Here's Kenny Hodge on that. If you are level 5 and they have you doing level 4 work, you're still getting paid level 5. Understand that. 25.3, written orders. This is where my branch drives me crazy, because for whatever reason, again, mail handlers, this is how you hurt yourself. You refuse. Yeah, the mail handlers in Columbus, Ohio, you refuse to insist that management gives you 1723s. You refuse to insist that management gives you written orders for your higher level assignment. And I'm going to keep on reminding you of this, because if we hold management accountable to do their job, well, if we make them do the 1723s, then maybe we can make them schedule properly. If we make them do the 1723s, then maybe we can make them excess out of units properly. You see, it's little becomes much. Now, before I read 25.3, there's a memo on page 194 that once I read the paragraph, I'm going to go to the memo for a little more understanding. 25.3. Any employee detailed to higher level work shall be given a written management order stating beginning and approximate termination, and directing the employee to perform the duties of the higher level position. Such written order shall be accepted as authorization for the higher level pay. The failure of management to give a written order is not grounds for denial of higher level pay if the employee was otherwise directed to perform the duties. Stand by, because we're going to talk about this for a minute. And what I mean by stand by, here's how I take Article 25.3. And again, these are the words that are in the contract. And I haven't forgot about the memo. I'm going to read that. 25.3 tells me that any employee detailed to higher level work shall, not should, shall be given a written management order. Columbus Post Office, you very rarely do you do that. Under Kenny Hodges' administration, every week you were required and you did submit those 1723s to the union. Again, this way, I can inform, as president, my mail handlers who's on a higher level and who's not on a higher level. Because in Columbus, Ohio, the 204Bs, for whatever reason, always seem to have more authority and autonomy than your actual Form 50s. In fact, even when they're up or not up on a higher level, they're always in a 204B mindset, which is dangerous because, speaking personally, if you're not in charge of me, if you don't have authority over me, I'm going to ask you now, as I've asked you in the past, how about if you stop trying to be my boss? If you're not in a position of authority over me, why don't you miss me with all your instructions on trying to tell me what to do? Because I'm telling you, it only creates conflict. In fact, if I'm not sure you're on a higher level, I ask to see your 1723. Yeah, it pisses off some of the 204Bs, but they'll get over it. It'll be all right once the swelling goes down. Here we go. Now, Article 25.3, it specifically states, management's failure to provide that 1723 does not give management the right not to pay you. Now, listen to what your article says. It says pay you. It doesn't say you have the right to be in a position of authority over someone else. It simply says because management did not give you the 1723, they are still obligated to pay you higher level pay. It does not mean, and please somebody correct me if I'm reading this wrong, it does not mean you have authority over me. Without that written order, then again, miss me with trying to tell me what to do, please. And this way we can have a harmonious work environment. Now, like I said, there's a memo in your contract on page 194, MOU, higher level pay for temporary details. And it reads as follows. When level 4 mail handlers are temporarily detailed to level 5 mail handler duties, higher level pay will be designated to the same step within level 5 as the employee occupied in their level 4 assignment. So again, that memo simply tells me that just because you are level 4 and you are on higher level, everybody's pay isn't the same. If I am a level 4 on the first step, then when I am put on higher level, I'm paid higher level, level 5 at the first step. If I am a level 4 at top step, once I go to level 5, I am now level 5 at top step. Just some interesting fact. Again, an educated mail handler will help us make our union much stronger. And when I say educated, I'm solely talking about contractual knowledge. Let's move on to section 25.4. And 25.4 talks about detailing higher level details. Detailing of employees to higher level bargaining unit work in each craft shall be from those eligible, qualified, and available in each craft in the immediate work area. Not work location, so we're not talking about the whole building, work area in which the temporarily vacant higher level position exists. However, for details of an anticipated duration of 1 week, 5 working days within 7 calendar days, or longer to those higher level craft positions enumerated in this agreement as being permanently filled on the basis of promotion of the senior qualified employee, the senior qualified eligible available employee in the immediate work area in which a temporary vacant higher level position exists shall be selected. Let's talk about that for just a second. Now, again, this is how I see that Article 25.4. And I want you to listen good, because if I'm wrong, let's talk about it. There is a vacant higher level position in an area, work area, for a day or two. Listen to me very carefully. There is nothing in your contract that says that vacant position has to go to the senior mail handler. Nothing. I'm well aware of principles of seniority, but I'm talking about Article 25.4. That to me reads, if there is a higher level detail in my work area, that supervisor can select from anybody in that immediate work area to fill that detail without being a violation of your contract. Did you hear what I said?
Only career employees.
I know we think everything has to go by seniority. And let me tell you something. Please don't for a second think I am minimizing our principles of seniority, because that's all we have. But we have a contract here, folks. And if our contract don't make specific reference to this must be done in this manner, then you have to understand it, and I'm taking it at face value. But then the contract comes right back and says, if that detail is more than a week, 5 working days within 7, now you must go by seniority. So, inside these units where you got vacant positions, just because you're the first person to put in a request for that position over 5 days, you have to understand that supervisor is not obligated to honor your request. If a request comes in from a person senior to you in the work area for the same detail you've already submitted a request for, you should not be given that position. It should be given to the senior mail handler over you. Am I being crystal clear? Now, here's where Columbus usually takes something very simple and just screw it up as usual. If you're going to give that detail to the senior person, because we're talking over a week, that detail is that detail. You can't alter it. In other words, because you like me, and I'm one of those over-the-top mail handlers, if I put in for a detail, well, you have to give me that detail. You can't alter the days off or change the times, because then we're not talking about that detail. We're talking about a change of schedule for you. Understand that. And again, because Columbus has favorites and they want to give their favorite the detail, then if their favorite happens to be senior, then you have to give that detail in its entirety, award that to the senior person. Again, you can't modify starting times. You can't change days off, because if you do that, then you have not assigned anyone to the detail. You've just created a change of schedule situation for your favorite employee. Please understand that. Section 25.5, we talk about leave pay. Leave pay for employees detailed to higher level positions will be administered in accordance with the following. A, employees working short term on a higher level assignment or detail will be entitled to approved sick and annual leave at the higher level rate for a period not to exceed 3 days. So if you're on a detail for a month on level 5 and you call out sick, a period not to exceed 3 days, you're going to get paid for it at the higher level rate. A2, short term shall mean an employee has been on an assignment or detail to a higher level position for a period of 29 consecutive working days or less at the time leave is taken. And such assignment or detail to the higher level position is resumed upon return to work. All short-term assignments or detail will be automatically canceled if replacements are required for absent detailed employees. So now what that language says is, if you're on a short-term detail, which means 29 consecutive days or less, well, if you're out sick you should be allowed to get paid higher level for a period not to exceed 3 days. But now listen, if those 3 days that you're out, they put another 204B in your position, then Article 25.4, Section A2 says the post office has the right to cancel your detail. And if they cancel it, then you're no longer entitled to that higher level pay. A3. Long term shall mean an employee has been on an assignment or detail to the higher level position for a period of 30 consecutive days or longer at the time leave is taken. In such assignments or detail, the higher level position is resumed upon return to work. Now notice, in my short term, it tells me that if my detail is backfilled, in other words, another 204B, I'm sorry, if another higher level person comes up and they do my job, then the post office can cancel my higher level detail. But notice in A3, when we talk about the long-term detail, the post office does not have that authority. And 25.5 and B, terminal leave payments resulting from death will be paid at the higher level for all employees who are assigned or detailed to higher level assignments on their last workday. Terminal leave payments. So if you're going out on terminal leave and your last workday was level 5 or level 6, then all your terminal leave will be at that higher level. Again, 25.5B says terminal leave payments resulting from death will be paid at the higher level for all employees who are assigned or detailed to higher level positions on their last workday. Now, again, I know this sounds kind of sad or morbid. This only says your last workday of work, not your last day before you retire. On your last workday, on your way home, you had a fatality. You had a fatal accident. Again, death must be a result. And then as they pay your terminal leave payments, those terminal leave payments are paid at the higher level. Hey, listen, real quick, because I don't want to go over 20 minutes. I'm going to touch something right now, and then I'm going to embellish on it tomorrow. Clerks and mail handlers. Listen to me, folks. That is two separate crafts. And the post office has gone through great lengths to make sure the two separate crafts' paths never cross. Did you hear what I just said to you? Now, here's where you can involve your local union. Go ask your local union reps for a copy of the latest arbitration decision or pre-arb decision that deals with clerks directing, guiding, or supervising mail handlers. Again, don't confuse 204Bs with clerks, okay? I'm talking about clerks. I'm talking about that lead clerk. I'm talking about that expediter clerk. That's who I'm really referring to, because if you're on a higher level, again, the clerk contract states there must be a vacancy of at least two weeks before a clerk can go on higher level. But we don't have that in our contract. But nonetheless, when I talk about clerks and mail handlers, just understand, if that clerk is on a 1723, that clerk is a Form 50, that's not who I'm addressing as per the mail handler contract. The APW might have an issue with that, but we don't. But that expediter, that tour office clerk, that's who I'm talking about. And I'm going to say this as softly as I possibly can. Columbus, you have allowed clerks to get in mail handler business to the point where I don't even know if you can get them out. You have tour office clerks calling mail handlers for overtime. You have tour office clerks handling mail handler overtime desire lists, and you seem to be perfectly comfortable with that. Yes, I'm talking directly to my members in Columbus, Ohio. You seem to be perfectly fine with clerks calling your house for overtime. I'm not. And the contract is not. Now, what the clerk says is, I'm just following orders of the supervisor. Now, listen to me. My issue is not with the clerk, because if that supervisor gives that clerk a direct order, that clerk should follow it. So my issue is with management. And there's an arbitration decision that's so clear when they say clerks should not supervise, guide, or direct. And if you are relaying information from a supervisor, if you are a clerk and you are relaying information to a mail handler from a supervisor, you are guiding and directing. And there's an arbitration decision that says that's not allowed. In fact, that is a Article 5 violation all day long. But you are so comfortable with it in Columbus, Ohio, that you don't even realize it happens. It happens with such regularity in our facility that we think it's part of the process. And I'm here to tell you it's not. A clerk never has autonomy when it comes to a mail handler. A clerk, I don't really care what position they're holding. And if you think I'm wrong, again, go to your union. I would ask you to ask your local headquarters, but they can't provide you with this type of information, because even though it's public knowledge, they still don't know it. Or they still won't enforce it. So ask your union for a copy of the latest arbitration decision that deals with clerks supervising mail handlers. And then please take some time, read it. Understand that I'm not giving you words just to incite you. I'm sorry. I'm giving you words to help you better understand your job, because I'm going to tell you something right now. The union in Columbus has done a piss poor job at educating members on what their actual job assignment is and should be. But 180 degrees, new direction. Kenny Hodge is standing by with a team of new leadership ready to assume local headquarters and put local 304 back on the road to contract compliance, because you're so far off right now that you may not even understand it. Because once you've been wrong for so long, you begin to think it's right. Hey, this is Kenny Hodge with an extended podcast today and tomorrow. And tomorrow we're going to go and break down that arbitration decision on clerks and mail handlers, because I'm going to tell you now, as I've always told you, a clerk never has autonomy, responsibility, or authority to guide, direct, or supervise a mail handler. Have a great day. That's my podcast for this morning. I'll be back at you tomorrow morning as we embellish on the arbitration decision pertaining to mail handlers and clerks. 180 degrees, new direction.